This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
So do you ever think there's a time where just all student loan will be forgiven?
Why would that be beneficial?
Well, if there's a student loan crisis, right, and, mm-hmm. and you have millions of people who just can't pay their student loans, then that probably will have more of a...
Statistically, who can't pay their student loans?
Who can't?
Mm-hmm. I'm baiting you on
low income people. I would assume middle class.
What do they look like?
Black people.
Okay, so here's the thing: when we talk about the largest holders of student loan debt, they're African American women, 30 through 55.
Ah. Percentage wise or numbers wise?
Well, percentage of the borrowers in total who owns the most student loan debt, who has the most degrees, is that group of people. So it's interesting. You remember when they were talking about the number of forgiveness they were going to give out, either 10 or 20,000? Did you ever wonder why they ended at that number? So statistically, if they gave out 20,000, that cleared the population of white male borrowers.
Yeah, completely.
So it's still race.
Yeah, because the amount that they owed was around
under 20,000.
It was under 20,000. So initially, mm-hmm. I think the average, I remember reading this, the average was like $16,500. That they owed,
yeah.
that they had at 20, that'll clear the entire...
So let's just keep going because I've got right. time. So now when you clear out all of these women, black women with student loan debt, and I know that other people have student loans that are black, obviously, but statistically, now we put this population with no debt, most agreed, now they can become homeowners, you say? Now, it changes the whole landscape of Welcome to America. So when you ask me, do I think they're going to eliminate? No. Why?
So you think that, okay, so it's a trap pretty much.
I'm not saying it's a trap. What I'm saying is this is where our community, when we talk about the Black community, and I hate to just always take it to race, but statistically, it's just very glaring, has to be wiser and be informative about borrowing practices. Now, the challenge here is that a lot of times when we look at this number, that person is also the first to graduate in their family from college. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to take the pride away from those numbers and the first to have a graduate degree, the first to have a doctoral degree. So we don't want to take any of that pride away. But what I'm saying is now mom, grandmom, even, let's say your grandmom at this point, how do we help your child and your grandchild not be in that same number and same boat? Yeah. One of the things that we're concerned about is if we see our clients get out of student loan debt at, like, let's say age 40, 45, we see that person going back in student loan debt at age 50, 55 because of Parent PLUS loans, because there's not a plan for their child or grandchild.
Yeah, so the plan is really, yes, if you want to achieve the same goal, all for it. How do we do it more effectively? How we do it more efficiently?
Mm-hmm. So I really love your platform, right? Because if somebody is a Black woman that's 35 and she's really tuning into stuff you guys are saying, sure, and she's following some of your strategies, she's thinking about real estate. I hate when I, you know, use my friend over there, but she has like, we got like 10 properties. She's a homeowner. She's a landlord. So she's changing the narrative for her daughter. So, you know, her daughter shouldn't even have to know what a student loan is if we do this right, because there should be enough cash flow income from her properties. Or maybe when her daughter goes to school, it's time to sell one. That is college tuition. So when we start changing the narrative of how we think about our finances and our wealth now, then we can set our children and grandchildren up differently. So we don't want to make anybody feel bad about what they did or didn't borrow. But what I'm saying is the conversation has to change, so that we don't see this cycle keep being repeated, because I don't think there's going to be a wave of forgiveness to help out a significantly group of population such.
Can I go back for just like a second? Because you said something and I understood it from the standpoint of having loan forgiveness and that coming off of, you know, your debt to income ratio in a sense, and your credit score plummeting, right? Mm-hmm. So most people wouldn't even understand that. They'll think, wait, it got cleared, my credit score should improve.
Yep.
But it really doesn't. Can you just explain why?
There's no more debt to factor. Like, not to be funny, you've had that debt probably for over 10 years. So it's used to your debt. Mm-hmm. So now you take it off the board. It's like, oh, how do we factor that into your mix, into your score? So now when you just take it off the board, and what's going to be a shocker to people the next 60 days is it's not gradually paying itself down. It's off.
Oh, right.
So when you held the 740, that 740 might look like a 640, all jokes aside, because that was a heavy part of your mix. That's going to be gone now. Then somebody asked me the other day, well, how do I keep that score up? You want the real answer? You need a mortgage. You need another debt similar to replace it of the same amount. I would hope if you would do that, it would be a mortgage and not another student loan.
Yeah, you got to balance that out.
Yep.
Also, the other part is from a tax standpoint, sometimes when loans are forgiven, does that go into your taxable income?
Very interesting you bring that up. So it is taxed federally tax-free until 2025. This is not a forever thing.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Do explain.
So after 2025, that's why it matters who gets elected, too. That might be taxed. These are what we call provisions. These are not laws. So a provision is in place until 2025 to say you will be tax-free. Let's say Biden gets reelected, pro-student loan, he might extend it to 2030, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever his term ends. But that's a provision. That's like president to president. So you got to understand the tax laws during that president's era. Certain states say, I don't care what the federal government's doing. If you get forgiven for $200K, we're taxing that as income. Whew. So what I would do is I would probably move. There's about 13 states, I think it is, and I don't know them offhand. Just Google it. And you live in one of them and you know you got that letter, I got to move. Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm being funny and serious at the same time. You're going to get taxed for that $200,000 in this example.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. And actually, I had a client. That was a true story. Like, I had a client say, she was like, so I'm excited. She was like, but 100,000 texts. She was like, in my state. She was like, I don't know. She's like, I think I need to move back in with my parents. They live in so-and-so. And I'm like, well, can you move? Like, can we put that change of address in? Like, can we file taxes at a new address? Because, yeah, she's going to get taxed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
It sounds so heavy today.
There you go.
It's a lot. It's a lot. My last thing, and before we go, you talked about scholarships. And I know kids and parents, this is tough. Is there a place that kids can go? I remember when you used to go to your guidance counselor, they had this book of all these scholarships. If you were left-handed, there was a scholarship. Is there one place or a concrete place that they can go for scholarships and grants? Because we know grants don't have to be repaid as well.
So, I mean, there are many places you can go. It's just hard to shout out places that I think are still reputable. Mm-hmm. Like the Scholly app is one of my favorites if it's still around. Mm-hmm. I know like College Girl, JP, I think is her name. She's awesome. Let me see, HBCU Money Guide on Instagram. She is amazing with her work. I tend to post different scholarship strategies on my page here throughout because I know that they go hand in hand.
Gotcha.
We don't get into it because it's just, we don't have the capacity. Yeah. What I will say is, you know, you want to identify your child, if you're a parent watching this, you want to identify your child's strengths early on, and that's the scholarship money we're going to start gearing ourselves to. Like, you're going to know pretty soon, is your child sports or academics? Is your child techie or not? Because there's so much money out there, and there is really a lot of money there. But and I do have to say this, because I used to sit on scholarship committees. Everybody thinks they're not eligible. Women, young ladies particularly, always think they're not eligible. I never forget, I had a young lady that was trying to go for nursing. The requirement was a 3.0 and some other things. She had a way above all the other requirements. She was super active. She had a 2.9. So I'm looking at her application, but she didn't do one last thing to apply. So I called her personally. I'm like, hey, her name was Jasmine. I'm like, I need you to put this in by midnight. She's like, no, it's at a 3.0. So there's a psychology here that women, even with jobs, they look at one requirement and go, not eligible. Men go, I'm about to try anyway. So we would see young men at our committee get scholarships over young women. And I realized the psychology is a lot of young women would think because they miss one thing. So she thanks me to this day. She got the money. It was like $10,000. Because she just applied anyway. Because now here's what happens, what a lot of people don't know behind the scenes. When there are private donors that are giving like the three and the five thousands, however, they are asking the committee's opinion. So if I'm looking at Bobby, who has a 3.2, but Bobby joined no activities in school. But I'm looking at Jasmine, who's a 2.9, but she was class president. She was this, she was this, she was this. I don't know. I'm probably going to go with Jasmine because she still had good grades and she managed all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Bobby just was in school. So then I have to tell the person who's giving the money, my professional opinion would be, let's go with Jasmine because we know when she gets to school and becomes an active member of her community at school, she's going to do good and still add to the value of their community. Oh, that's a good perspective. Let's give it to Jasmine.